If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. The show is currently on holiday break, but we bring to you a brand new edition of Late Night Chats featuring writers Matt Goldich and Ian Morgan. Now let's go to Matt and Ian.
Late Night Chats. Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing well, Matt.
It's good to see you. I don't see you very often, given the fact that we sit about 6 inches from each other.
I don't usually see you straight on.
No, yeah. Usually I only see the side of your face. So it's nice to see the front of your face.
Yeah, you have the front is just as great as the profile.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Ian and I are both writers, and we sit in the writer's room. All of the writers share one office.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And we're two of those people.
Matt has a window seat, so he gets to look out the window, and sometimes the light blasts him in the
face. A lot of glare this time of year.
Yeah.
And I often struggle with the shades. I'm not technically inclined. Do you not have a window?
No, I have a wall.
How do I not know that, considering I guess I consider my window your window.
Yeah, sometimes I'll look at it, but it does look at another wall.
Yeah.
So,
how long have you been a writer for the show, Ian?
So I'm coming up my third year.
Yes.
Got hired in 2015 and
before that you did cue cards for the show.
I did.
But the weird thing is I don't think we ever spoke. We never had any sort of conversation in the time. We worked for the show. So I started shortly after the show started. So this was June 2014.
Yeah,
and when did you get hired as a writer?
In March of 2015.
So we worked at the same show for almost a year, and I don't think I ever had a conversation with you. Is that possible? Unless I did and I didn't remember it. Maybe a holiday party or something?
Yeah.
We never really had much reason to interact.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't ever come back to the cue card area.
Well, I never had any cue cards to look at, I guess.
But I remember when you got hired because we actually both interviewed for the same position.
We did. That's right. I found out about this much later, actually. I thought I was the only person that interviewed, but then I found out that it was you and me. And in what could have been a very sad turn of events, I got the job. It would have been sad if you had not been the next person hired.
I would have harbored a lot of bitterness.
Yes.
But
yeah,
it worked out.
It worked out, and now we get to hang out and write monologue jokes together all day.
Yeah.
And other things.
Yes.
Yeah. You write popsicle shtick.
I do. You write hidden credits.
Yes.
And You Burnt.
I work on You Burnt with Ben Warhead, among other things. Yeah. Popsicle shtick is the internet's favorite segment on the show.
It might be our most divisive segment.
It's very divisive. I love it, and I mean this in the nicest way possible. It's probably the dumbest thing on the show.
Yes.
By far. To a point where it maybe is so dumb that it becomes smart again. I'm not really sure.
I don't know if we ever turn that corner, but it does. It is very dumb.
What are some? Do you remember any YouTube comments on popsicle shticks that you've gotten?
They're very polarized. It's either people really love it or people absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
And then I guess the middle ground is some people just like the jokes.
Right.
They really. Some people only like the jokes.
I think that's unequivocally the worst part. The graphics are what makes popsicle shtick.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know what to say.
The graphics have gotten more elaborate over the course, right?
They are. It started out probably like a 3-minute sketch, and I think the last one we did was 8 or 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just a little shout out to the graphics department here on the show. They basically make little cartoons.
They're so complicated. Each one gets more complicated, as does the gift that you buy for the graphics department gets nicer each time.
More elaborate, more expensive. It's costing me money to make popsicle sticks.
Once it was pizza, and then next time they got toppings on their pizza, I think, was the next level up at some point.
Next time it was just all top shelf booze.
Yeah.
So tell us about the hidden credits process.
Hidden credits process is so interesting. I can tell you what Ian Morgan's hidden credits process is. Because, this is a little inside for people who don't know about the show. When you run something like a desk piece, like, say, Hidden Credits or You Burn, you're in charge of it, but everybody on the staff helps contribute jokes to it. So when you know that your segment is coming up, let's say it's something like Jokes Seth Can't Tell or something else, you'll send out to the group and you'll say, hey, I need jokes for this. Teen Slang, can everybody send me a bunch by the end of the day? And you usually collect like 2 or 3 rounds. And then it's your job to sort of put it together. I mean, you also do write jokes and write material for your own thing. You also edit other people. So, you know, you're involved. It's not like you're just a dumpster for other people. So I know that
you run the show, though.
You run the segment. You're in charge. So I can tell you that in the past, I've done things like I'll send out an email on a Friday or a Thursday at the end of the week, and I'll say, hey, can everybody send me 5 hidden credits by the end of the day? And I remember one time Ian wrote me back and said, can I take the weekend to work on these? I like to actually watch TV while I'm writing them.
It's hard.
Because they're about actual TV shows, and your inspiration is just watching TV, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard for me to do it without having some sort of setup in front of me.
Oh,
as monologue writers.
And you haven't figured out how to watch TV on your computer yet?
No, I'm so... It's early. It's early in the digital age.
Yes. Right. You have to go to Vimeo and load them up. Or what was the early... I'm trying to think of... what the early YouTube predecessor to YouTube was, that was where all the Lonely Island sketches were. That was the reference I was trying to come up with, but
I don't know. YouTube is as far back as I can remember.
That's the other thing about you that's very interesting, is you're extremely young.
I don't know that I am extremely young anymore.
You were when you started.
When I started,
I'm sort of an old man in that I'm a son. I have a father. You have no children. No entanglements, but you are one of your things about you that we sort of harp on in the writer's room is that references go over your head, and it's not your fault. It's because how old were you when President Obama was elected?
I was a freshman in college. I was 18 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Which is not that crazy.
But you don't remember that there was another George Bush,
No, I'd never heard of him.
Wow. things like that.
And I don't even believe that he's real.
No, he slides down the chimney and brings you presents every year. So, you're extremely young, but...
And I wouldn't say you're an old man, but you do have a very deep knowledge of certain things that I do not have.
I have a weird memory for references, topical things from the news. I've followed the news closely for a long time, and I have a very surface level knowledge and memory for a lot of different things. If you ask me to explain, for instance, net neutrality, I would not be able to. But if you asked me who Senator Bob Packwood is, I could probably do it. Or some sort of topical reference from 20 years ago.
Specifically song lyrics.
I do remember a lot of song lyrics too.
Deep well.
This is Brian Donaldson and I, one of the other writers, are big dad rock fans, and so we will often try to work Supertramp or something into our monologue jokes.
And they
they'll
come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And rear their ugly head.
I did once get a joke on about a plane that broke down, and the punch I was like, they planned to take those broken wings and learn to fly again. It was some sort of bizarre reference to Mr. Mister that got on. Ian, this is not the first place we've worked together. Is that true?
It is true, but this is the first place that we've worked together, but we both worked at the same show at different times.
So we're talking, of course, about
The Late Show with David Letterman.
When did you work there?
I worked there right out of college. I was an intern there. Mm-hmm. And then I was a page for a little while, and then I worked in the mailroom. So that was in 2012 through like maybe 2013, I think.
So this, again, is a demonstration of our age difference in that you were an intern there after I was a writer there. So,
and so when did you work at Letterman?
I was there for a year between 2009 and 2010. That was actually my first monologue writing job. So, yeah.
And you were a freelancer for the show, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was, and then I
prior to getting
that was really my I would say my big break. I'd written on other shows before then, but that was the show where I really, you know, it was the first thing I was very excited to tell people about, obviously. But
likewise, when I was there,
sure, yeah. And we should say also before, did we mention this? So did you do cue cards on Letterman, or was this your first job doing cue cards?
I left Letterman's mailroom to do cue cards at SNL and at Late Night. So when this show started is when I left Letterman.
Right.
So February of 2014.
Yeah. And you have very neat handwriting.
Yeah. Everyone that does cue cards has the exact same printing is what we call it. You have the everyone uses the same letters. It's all capital. But so to cue card guys, or to people that do cue cards...
Cue card men and women.
Cue card men and women can tell who what individual printing they're looking at any given time.
Yes.
So I think I could go back there even today and say, oh, that's, you know, that's Todd's printing or that's Brian's printing. But to the untrained eye, it looks like all the exact same lettering.
Has Wally been on the podcast before to talk about cue cards? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wally is the head cue card guy here and at SNL, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Head cue card guy at SNL. Also runs, his company runs Conan, which I don't know if a lot of people know. But yeah, Wally's got his hands in a lot of pots.
Yeah. There was a rumor that he was your uncle when you first...
It was a pervasive rumor.
Yes.
That, it really followed me, and I don't know when I caught wind of it, but everyone thought that Wally was my uncle, which is not true. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind having Wally as my uncle, but he's not my uncle.
He's a very avuncular fellow. Did I use that word correctly?
It's a perfect usage of that avuncular.
Okay, good.
But yeah, he's not my uncle. I don't know where that rumor started. I have a suspicion that it started with our head writer, Alex Bays.
Probably.
Because I think because Wally was the person who first got me in to submit jokes. He, like, before I started, he talked to the head writer and asked if this new cue card guy could submit jokes before the show even started. And I think somehow in that communication, somehow Bays came away with the idea that I was related to Wally, and that's why he was doing me this favor.
Yes. Yeah. Instead of the fact that you were just his cue card son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, not his life nephew.
But he also, that followed me until I think like 6 months into
the
writing
job. There were probably
people
that believed it without you knowing that they thought it. It was like a weird thing where you found out later that we thought that he was your uncle.
There may still be people in this office that think that I'm Wally's nephew.
Yeah, there might be.
I just want to clear the air.
Okay, you're not Wally's.
I am unequivocally Wally's nephew.
You are Wally. Oh, okay. Now it's okay. I get it now. Nice. Yeah. Is there anything that you wanted to ask? Anything that that you wanted to mention?
So we have a particular thing that we do every few weeks.
Oh,
every
bit. Yes.
Yeah, it's a little bit that we do. And it has to do with my lunch every day.
Yes. So here's what I noticed about your lunch. Well, first of all, this is a topic we could talk about for hours. But in general, our office, the writer's room, I would say is a very early lunch-getting office.
Yeah.
And so people tend to go get lunch around starting at 11:30.
Which is fine.
Sometimes earlier. Because we have a 1:30 deadline that you don't want to run up too close to, and B, because once the first person gets lunch, it's very hard to resist, I find, getting lunch.
Well, we're all together. There's so much smell.
So but you're probably the earliest, usually, most days.
Yeah, I spend most of my time between 9:30 and 11 o'clock thinking about lunch.
Yeah.
And so when it's reasonable for me to go, I tend to go.
And I would say that your lunches in general are A, heavy lunches, usually, often very heavy for like 11:20 a.m. They often seem to be haphazard and randomly put together and scattershot. Sometimes they are surprisingly healthy. And They're just basically the way I would eat if I was in my 20s and my stomach could handle it, probably. But so we've turned it into a running Instagram bit where I will, when I find that you're eating an unusual or interesting lunch, I will take a picture of you eating your lunch and hashtag it, What's Ian Eating?
What's Ian Eating?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. There's no other way I know how to eat.
Yeah.
So it's, I just...
Do you just go up there and just grab whatever looks good?
Yeah, I'll usually, there's a commissary at 30 Rock,
yeah.
And so they'll have a bunch of different options. They have a couple mainstays. There's like a salad bar, and there's like some soups all the time.
You're a big soup guy.
Big soup guy.
And you love to dip.
Yeah, and I don't really understand how other people don't love to dip.
Well, here's the thing. So there are combos of soup that I understand. Like sometimes you will get like, chicken noodle soup and like a turkey sandwich and you'll dip, which is fine.
Other times
you'll get a PB&J and like broccoli cheese soup and you'll dip, and that's gross.
To me, that also sounds delightful. I like soggy bread.
Yes.
And it doesn't really matter how it comes.
You bake your own bread also. That is the other shocking thing, because you eat like... You're the only person I know who like bakes their own bread, but also like will eat like Chef Boyardee. There seems to be no rhyme and reason to your eating. Like you eat like a young college student who has no ability to cook, but then I find out you're baking bread. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, I'm not looking to live up to any ideals.
You don't fit into a box.
No, I don't, except for a little lunchbox.
There you go. Way to wrap that. But and then it became kind of a sensation, the What's Ian Eating hashtag, if I do say so myself, as the creator of it. But there was post a comment or something when you were in a sketch?
Yeah, there was some sketch that I was in. I think it was the Pervitol sketch that we did.
Yeah.
It was a sketch about, you know, a fake drug to help
you had
people.
To stretch out of your comfort zone to play a sexual pervert.
Yeah.
Yes.
And someone commented underneath, oh, like, What's Ian Eating?
Yeah.
There he is.
Nice.
And that was my first taste of fame.
First taste of internet fame. I should say, by the way, underrated, you're not... I wouldn't say you're often asked to act in sketches, but when you do, you're always note perfect in them.
Oh,
you're
that's
a great
very nice
actor.
To say.
I always remember you got maybe the biggest laugh in the Lemonade parody.
Oh yeah, I had a cake smashed in my face.
Yes,
and you're a great actor as well.
Well,
you have a much better stage presence, and
I have a hard time playing anything that's too far away from myself. I can play writer Matt Goldich, varying degrees of that. You're able to play a different stretch and play different characters.
Yeah, really. Mustached guy in any various scenario.
It's one of those things where, like, we've both been here long enough that even though we're not, like, necessarily the go-to on-camera people for those things, like, eventually, like, someone's going to call you to be in something and you're going to need to do it.
Yeah, it's just the law of averages.
Yeah.
But it's always fun.
It's fun. Like, it's like nice to mix up the day and get to do something different, be in something. And
it feels like a little treat that I didn't earn at all.
Right.
And someone just said, hey, why don't you be in this? It's like, oh, great.
Especially because you get a little extra acting money and maybe
scratch.
Some residuals if it reruns, if it's good. But I do remember when I started here, Connor O'Malley, who was a writer here at the time, was like, I was in one thing, and then he was like, you should get contacts in case you ever have to play a character who doesn't wear glasses. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. I was just like, I'm never going to play a character who doesn't wear glasses. I was like, if somebody has a character who doesn't wear glasses, they can ask somebody else to do it. Or, like, you know, if I have one line, I guess I can memorize it. And
I do remember a sketch back when I was doing cue cards, and I was holding the cue cards for you for some sketch where you were in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
And I think for whatever reason, your lines weren't ready or something, and the camera cut to you, and it was a rehearsal, and you said... I'm not usually cast in these things. That was your improvised line.
Yeah, yeah, that's it's true. But you have to look out. There are times when I'll write something and I'll be like, oh, I should, like, in general, I want to give it to like a better actor, like Scollins or Lutz or Amber or somebody like that. And then when it's like one line where you're like, I think I can do this, like I will give it to myself. I'm just like, because why not?
Yeah, since I've been here, I haven't written very much for myself to say. If I ever write a sketch, it's usually for someone else. Though me, Brian Donaldson, and I wrote a kind of a really long sketch that was starring us. Brian and I are both monologue writers, mm-hmm. who are almost never on camera, and Yeah, it was a very ambitious sketch where it was starring us for a very long time. And I think it's been tabled, but...
which one was it?
It was Behind the Joke.
Oh, yeah.
Indefinitely tabled, but it was a little ambitious.
Were you in the Wally Takes Out a Cue Card and Shoots It? Were you in that? Or did you and Brian just write
we
that?
We just wrote it. We weren't in it.
Yeah.
Wally also great on camera.
Wally is very good, especially if he's not wearing pants. That's generally his sort of go-to.
The less, the better.
Yeah. Let's look at this sheet what else we got information here? That Jay and Ross have prepared for us to see if there's anything else. Ian, what's the easiest part of your job?
The easiest part of my job, I would say, is following the news. And I don't know if that's, I mean that sincerely, like you...
It is very in your face.
It's always in your face, but at other places, like at Letterman, for example, I was never a writer there, but when you wrote jokes for Letterman, you had to go out and find your own news stories, all your own setups. And here we have a system that's kind of similar to Weekend Update where the writer's assistants compile...
Kyle and Sahar, who are great at their jobs.
Yeah, compile just pages and pages of setups and news stories that eliminate that whole part of the process. So that's the easiest part, is that we don't have to go out and hunt that stuff down.
Yes.
What do you find to be the easiest?
The easiest part of my job, okay, it's a tie. Number one, going into work every day is super fun because we work with a great group of people.
Yeah.
And it's just a blast. And then also I would say when there's like a nice, juicy, fun story that just hits that sweet spot and the jokes just like pour out of you.
Yeah.
That is always really, really fun. The hardest is that you have to do it every day. And sometimes there is not one of those stories. And sometimes you're on like day four of your eighth week in a row writing jokes and like, you know, the news is super depressing or there's just nothing to work with or like... You know, the big story of the day is something that does not lend itself well to writing jokes about, like tax reform or something like that.
Or something even darker.
Something where people are dying or something. Yeah. But, you know, like the hurricane in Puerto Rico. You know, stuff like that where it's just like, oh, it's a big story. We have to cover this, but it's so, you know, those are that's probably the hardest.
I think it's just keeping like an even keel. Because you gotta, even if you're having a bad day or if you're having a good day, it's like you just gotta go in and submit the same number of jokes as you would always do otherwise.
Yeah. This is your first podcast? Is that right? This is the first time you've ever been on a podcast?
First time I've ever
you're
been on a
podcast.
You're
very good. You're a natural.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And you have, this is not your first time on a podcast.
Yeah.
You have your own podcast.
I do. It's unrelated to the show. I don't know if I'm allowed to plug it here, but it's called Sorry I've Been So Busy. It's a podcast I host with my friend Andrew, and we've done almost 100 episodes, so we've done a bunch. We've had a few of the people that work here on. Yeah. Amber's been on, Allie, Ben Warhite.
I'll just stress,
Ben
this
Warhite.
Is my very first podcast.
Yes, you've so never been on. Been on yeah, yeah, one. Yeah. Although, we usually, it's, we... It might have something to do with the fact we usually record in the mornings on off days from work, and I always feel bad. I would feel bad trying to get you out of bed on a non-work day.
Yeah, right in the middle of lunch hour.
Yeah. But don't you have a rule? What's your rule about getting out of bed?
Well, my rule was is just out of bed by noon. Because what are you doing if you're not getting out of bed by noon?
Yeah, that is so funny to me. I have a 2-year-old. I cannot remember the last time I was in bed after 8 a.m.
Yeah. No, I have two nephews, so I...
Sure, so you get it.
Hang out, all right.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, but this is very early.
Yeah. Yeah. Time for soup.
Yeah, right.
cool.
Gets me through the morning.
But people should... we'll have you on at some point, but people should check out my other podcast, Sorry I've Been So Busy, if they've liked what they've heard. And if they haven't liked what they've heard, it's Ian's fault. And they should check it out anyway.
I'm the problem here.
Cool. Is there anything else we should do before we wrap up?
Maybe we answer one more of these questions?
Sure. Let's do one more question and then we'll say goodbye.
How about we tell each other something about ourselves that the other person may not know?
Something about me that you might not know.
Yeah.
Let's see. Something about me that Ian might not know. God, you know so much about me.
I know.
Because we sit next to each other.
Or what about, do you want to try this one? What's the hardest you have laughed working together? What's the hardest that we have laughed
That's a good
together?
Question. Probably with something to do with Connor O'Malley when he was working.
Connor used to sit right next to me, so we were like three ducks in a row.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a saying. But and Connor is hilarious, very funny guy.
It could be a Ben Moorhead thing too, also. Ben has a way of taking things that start like a kernel of what's going on in the world and then taking them in a direction where they are completely off the rails.
Yeah.
I would say the hardest we've laughed working together, though, if I had to say it, I would have to say it's probably something Seth Meyers said. Because, you know, you try to make
a good
impression.
You do literally have to say
that. You literally have to. I have to say that and you have to laugh. He also is pretty much the funniest person I've ever met. Which is why he's the host of the show.
He's a hoot.
And he's a better writer than all of us, that's probably the hardest part of our job.
Topping Seth.
Yes, there you go. Cool. Well, that was a bit of a cop. Is there a time you've laughed that hard that you wanted to mention?
No. I don't know.
No, you're a pretty serious guy. You've never snarfed any soup out.
No, I've never scarfed my
You were not yet a writer the time that Connor and Mike Shoemaker wrestled in the writers' room.
No, so I've heard
that
tell
might
of
be
that.
The time that people laughed the hardest.
You know what might be the time is when Connor went around the table. We had a we had a writer's dinner
this
one
was
night.
So funny.
And Connor went around the table and described what everyone was going to do when they went home. And this was my very first week of working
here.
It
was so perfectly observed and great.
Yeah.
Cool. This was super fun, dude.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you to the digital department and the podcast department for having us. Jay also used to work at Letterman.
Yes, he did. I used to work with Jay at, I used to send him pictures of celebrities as they came in for the show, not just reasons. But and then he'd send them back to me and I'd tweet them.
Perfect. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much. This was super fun.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
Is win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying, lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.